Bestie.
Hey guys, we got two bestie homeschooling mamas coming at you. I am Gail.
And I'm Christina.
And we are excited to share a episode with you today on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The power of forgiveness. It's going to be a profound episode, in my opinion. In a world that's often marred by hurt, betrayal, and conflict, forgiveness stands as a beacon of hope and healing. But what does forgiveness truly mean from a biblical perspective? Let's dive in.
Okay. Where does the Bible teach us how to forgive and why it's important? This is really important. Okay. So the Bible is replete with teachings on forgiveness, demonstrating its significance in the life of believers. One of the most renowned passages on forgiveness is found in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus instructs his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Mm-hmm. I know that there is other versions of the Bible that say, you were just saying, yeah, that yours, you grew up saying the Lord's Prayer as, Forgive us
our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So forgiveness is not just, you know, forgiving somebody because they owe you money.
Right. It's not just a financial debt.
Right.
It's like a debt in your life.
Yes.
Some way that they've hurt you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A debt in your heart. Those kinds of things.
And we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgiveness is not easy.
No.
It isn't.
It's one of the hardest gifts that God's given us to learn how to do.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he shows the greatest example of it
mm-hmm.
by dying on the cross for our sins so that we are forgiven in the Lord's eyes. But it is really hard as a human.
It is.
To figure that out.
It is.
We're not inherently wired that way anymore because of the fall. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the hardest things, especially if you've been hurt for a long time or by many people.
Mm-hmm.
Trust goes away, which
walls go up.
Issues. Yeah, walls mm-hmm. go up, you know, and then you got to figure out how to be Jericho.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So this prayer underscores the reciprocal nature of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Our forgiveness of others is intimately tied to God's forgiveness of us. But forgiveness is not merely a transactional exchange. It is a profound act of grace and mercy.
Amen. I mean, that again, we're talking about as humans how we're not good at forgiveness, but I think when we do struggle with forgiveness, we have to go back to the mercy we get every day,
mm-hmm.
right? The mercy that God extends to us for us, our sinful nature, mm-hmm. whether it be to him, you know, sins against him or sins against other people, those kinds of things. I think that remembering his grace and why we were given grace
mm-hmm.
helps us to learn how to forgive other yeah. people.
I think, too, it's easy for us to keep track, whether intentionally or unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
easy for us to keep track.
The mental scorecard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of how many times your spouse, your kids, how many times have you forgiven them in the past day, week, month, year, mm-hmm. right? But if you take a step back, you really think, okay, well, how many times have they had to forgive me?
Right. Or how many times has God had to forgive me?
How many times has God had to forgive me?
Right.
Yep.
And he's not keeping
right.
a scorecard.
And and your family probably isn't either.
Yeah.
Your husband
might be, though.
Sometimes. Sometimes they do.
That was a thing Landon had troubles with when we were early on in our marriage. Like, it was always a tick for tack situation.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that took a lot of years for both of us to grow up. I mean, we were 20 when we got married, so it took a long time for us to get out of that teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's an adolescent feeling. So when you're in that adolescent stage of your beliefs, of your faith, sometimes that's where you still are. You're like, tick for tack,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I forgave you, so you have to forgive me kind of thing. And that's just not how it works. It's a heart thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I like how the Bible gives specific stories of people showing forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like, first and foremost, Jesus on the cross. Like,
mm-hmm.
let's just talk about that because that's the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
That's there on the cross and is like, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, he's telling God to forgive these, one, the criminals who are next to him, and two, the people who put him there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my Lanta, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You're about to die and you're still asking for God to forgive the people who put you there.
Mm-hmm.
That, in my opinion, is the biggest and best story of forgiveness in the Bible. Mm-hmm. However, there's a really good one in the Old Testament of Joseph.
Yes.
So the Bible recounts these numerous, you know, accounts of forgiveness, but perhaps the most poignant one that I was telling you about is Joseph. He's sold into slavery by his own brothers. Joseph endured betrayal and hardship. Yet when given the opportunity to exact revenge, Joseph declares, "You intend to harm me, but God intended it for good." Mm-hmm. So I think that's huge too. In the storm, it just looks terrible.
In the storm. Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like when he was in jail both times, mm-hmm. you know, or in the ditch before he was sold into slavery, or just all the things. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of times where he could have just thrown his hands up and been like, "I hate my life," ended his life. And he instead saw it as a way through to God's plan. Mm-hmm. Oh, do I struggle with that?
This is the thing. Yeah. This is a tough thing for all of us.
Joseph's story exemplifies forgiveness as a choice. Mm-hmm. One that transcends personal vendettas and embraces divine purpose. It's a radical departure from the world's notion of justice. It's rooted in love and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I think if we all went to each person that we need to forgive with that same thought process, the world would look a lot different than it does today.
Wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wish I could say that I was good at this forgiveness thing too, but it is not easy.
No. And the people who you have to forgive don't make it easy.
No. Well, and that's a pretty big key there, right? Mm-hmm. Is what does forgiveness look like? How do you work through, mm-hmm. how do you work through that? It requires humility, empathy, and a willingness to let go of bitterness. Let me say that again, because I know we all need to hear it again. It requires humility, empathy, and a willingness to let go of bitterness. In Ephesians 4:32, it reminds us, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." That's a good one. Well,
and
good
that's verse. The thing, too. We have to remember that forgiveness is not for the other person.
It's not.
It is solely and wholeheartedly for you. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot move forward in your life. You cannot move forward in your mental stability, mm-hmm. until you let go, yeah. of all of these things.
Yeah. And let's be clear here. Forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation.
Right.
In some situations, that's just not the right choice.
Right. And we had a really cool podcast about this not, yes. that long ago, about 11, yep. weeks or so ago, called Navigating Relationships. And it was with our special guest, Sherry Orr. It's episode 28, if you want to go back and reference it, mm-hmm. that even though forgiving somebody does not mean that they still get to be in your life.
Yep, absolutely.
It's very important that you remember that.
Yes, I do recommend going back and listening to, mm-hmm. that one. Okay, so forgiveness is not a sign of weakness, no. but of strength. A strength derived from our identity as children of God. It is a journey, a process of releasing the grip of resentment and embracing the freedom found in grace.
Mm, there's that word again.
Grace, good one.
Grace is amazing. It's something none of us deserve and all of us get, mm-hmm. as long as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Yep.
I don't know that I would have made it through my life without some grace.
Right.
I'm in my middle of my life right now, and I'm still figuring out how to extend grace. Mm-hmm. And I have found that, like, having people in my life, like lots and lots and lots of close people, I'm air quoting that, close people, is not necessarily needed. Because, mm-hmm. the more people you put in your life in your close-knit circle, the more drama you have.
Mm. That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so then there's more opportunities to forgive. I don't know that I even want the opportunities. I think extending grace to people that have wronged you is a great place, but closing that circle off a little bit at a time, knowing what you can offer people as a friend and as either a mentor or getting a mentor, like those kinds of things, those are also pieces of grace, in my opinion, like in your life. Mm-hmm. Like those people bring grace into your life and mercy into your life and show you how to extend that to other people too. I don't have a crazy big circle, but I'm very
social.
I'm very social. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm very, very social and I love people, mm-hmm. but I don't make everyone
right.
somebody that I talk to all about all the things about. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just a surface relationship mm-hmm. because that's all that either I can give to them or all that they deserve. And I don't want to, you know, once you start going deep with people is when you have to start worrying about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've talked about that in previous episodes too, mm-hmm. about
the friendships, ebbs and flows, the
friendships, mm-hmm. about how you speak about your spouse mm-hmm. to the people around you. I mean, mm-hmm. really, we shouldn't be out there telling everybody all the mm-hmm. things all the time, right?
Right?
You should have a small group of people that are super close to you, whether
trusted,
that mm-hmm. you know is going to give you godly advice, isn't going to go run and tell everybody your secrets, mm-hmm. and is going to be there for you when you need it.
I agree.
Get your bestie.
Amen, sister. Mm-hmm. Mine's yep. taken, so you can't. Ultimately, forgiveness is not just a moral obligation. It is a transformative act that restores relationships and fosters reconciliation, but not always.
Not always.
Like we talked about before. Yep, yep. It can foster reconciliation when that Absolutely. Needs to happen, but not if the person is not going to bring value to your life, in my opinion. Right?
Wait, now I'm going to go down a rabbit hole if I am just going to. We've done that episode.
We've done that episode. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to embody this radical love and extend forgiveness to others, just as we have received it from our Heavenly Father. And again, as we've said several times in this episode already, it's the hardest thing I think you'll ever do. Mm-hmm. It can be. Some days it's easier to forgive my husband when we have crazy small arguments. And other days it's a little bit harder because, you know, sometimes there are words that are said and sometimes it's more difficult.
Yeah. Some things are easier to forgive than others.
And sometimes you have to forgive someone more than once for the same thing.
Yeah. Especially if you're married. I'm just saying, I feel like that one for spouses is really...
It's imperative to your marriage.
It is imperative to your marriage that mm-hmm. you, I mean, you're going to fight. It's mm-hmm. going to happen. Some mm-hmm. more than others, right? Some fights bigger and smaller than others. But, it's a choice that you get up every day and you just have to forgive the things of yesterday and move on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be fighting constantly.
Yeah, you'll be in a consistent struggle.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, it was a lot of forgiveness that needed to happen to people that I didn't want in my life anymore, mm-hmm. but that I had to forgive several times over again before I actually truly let it go, you know, because forgiveness is one of those things where you can forgive them and then you feel good for several days or weeks or whatever, and then somebody talks about that person and then you're all agitated again.
Get triggered.
Yeah.
Somebody does something that is...
Or similar to that person. And,
yeah.
And so you have to go back and re-forgive all over again. But again, remember, it's not for them. Like half of the time, they don't even know. One person that I have forgiven that took me a long time to do is not even on earth anymore. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I think a way that's helpful to help forgive is writing the letters that you never send. And once you've written those letters and you're not going to send them, you can burn them in your... fire pit. You can leave them in a drawer, you know, in your underwear drawer that hopefully no one goes through. You know, in my opinion, for me personally, I would destroy it because I would, those words are for me and God, right? And I wouldn't want anyone to find that and think that that's necessarily how I felt about that person because the things I have to get out in order to move through the forgiveness process, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of clay therapy when I was like a teenager and going through counseling. Like they'd have me, I don't know, make like a model of a person out of red clay or a model of something that reminded me of that person, like say a computer or something, and smash it with my fists and my wrists. And that got out a lot of aggression and helped me move through my feelings about that person. And so, you know, there's always... therapies like that, or coloring therapy. Like you draw a nice picture about this person or a picture of the person, and then you just scribble, scribble, scribble over it. So there's ways that you can work through your aggravation mm-hmm. without going and saying terrible, terrible things to that person.
Sure. I've heard before that you know that you have forgiven someone or gotten closer to forgiving someone when you can think about them or hear about them mm-hmm. without getting all
revved up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I can relate to that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nope, I have not moved on. I still get upset when I hear about this person or yeah. when I...
Yep.
It's just like, oh,
I'm working through
I'm not there.
People in my life right now, and they're not in my life.
Right.
But every time I hear about them, because they're in my realm of thought process and circle,
yeah.
I get agitated every single time, and there's no good reason for it.
No, it doesn't do anything good. There's nothing good that comes of us getting...
And I haven't seen them in person in months and months and months and months and months, mm-hmm. or even maybe a year. But just hearing their name or hearing about what's going on in their life mm-hmm. is... just drives me bonkers.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to this.
Yeah. And so I've spoken to my husband about it, and he knows who they are, and I needed somebody to know
yeah.
that when you talk about these people to me, or when I talk to you about these people, it every single time instantly puts my blood mm-hmm. pressure the roof.
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't want it to be that way.
No.
And so I tell him, I'm like, I need you to help me remember it's not about them. And that's the thing, too. It's not about them. You clearly have something you have to work through if that's how you feel about these people or this person or this situation with this person. Yeah. So I think that that's something that would be helpful, is for you guys to have a person that you are talking to that's not needing forgiveness of mm-hmm. yours, and just have maybe an accountability partner yeah. about when you do feel triggered. They help you slow down and be like, why are you feeling triggered by just hearing their name, kind of thing. And then pray through that.
Yeah.
But hopefully every time it gets a little bit less.
And it will. I know sometimes it feels like that day will never come, mm-hmm. but it does with time and prayer.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was a short but intense episode. Forgiveness can be that way.
Yes. Yes, it can.
First and foremost, I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight on this exploration of forgiveness from the biblical perspective. May we all find the courage to forgive as we have been forgiven. Mm. May all the grace and peace be with you through your forgiving workthroughs, because mm-hmm. it feels like so much and your body gets into knots. If you enjoyed this episode, mm-hmm. if you felt that you got something from it, or that you can send it to somebody who might get something from it, we ask that you share it. Leave us a review, leave us a rating, subscribe, join our online communities on Facebook and Instagram. We would love to hear from you. If you've been able to work through forgiveness and you want to share any part of your story, we would love to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure to share that if you are up for it. You ready? Let's
yeah.
pray.
Yeah.
So because in the beginning, Christina referenced
the Lord's Prayer,
I think that's how we're going to close.
I think that's fabulous.
All right. So if you have never heard it before, I hope that you hear this and know that this is straight out the Bible. I'm going to say it the way that I learned how when I was going to church growing up, because mm-hmm. it's just the way it is for me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey, bestie.